This morning, you may notice I hit the record button already. There's a nice little light over here. Do you see this? Did you notice that? That's new. This last week on Thursday, I was really excited, which is weird, because Thursday night's usually a night when I'm really tired and I'm really grateful there's no ad board and trustees. But I came here on Thursday and I was excited because I had new lights. And while I was here on Thursday, thinking about lights and how I was like so excited about these little lights, the Lord questioned me, and I felt like he was asking me, Eli, why are you so excited about lights? Why aren't you excited about Sunday? Why aren't you excited about Sunday? Why are you so excited about lights? Why aren't you so excited to be in my presence with my people? I began to wonder, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What does this mean? Last week, we started a sermon series called Identity Crisis, asking the question, who are we? How can we do what God's called us to? How? What is an identity crisis? An identity crisis is when an individual is questioning their basic sense of self. Hi, that was me Thursday. Feeling a deep lack of purpose. Hi, that was me Thursday. Experiencing sudden anxiety or confusion about their life direction. Hi, that was me Thursday. And I'd written a sermon about how to not do this. But are you excited about church on Sunday? Lord, I don't know. I'll try to be. Will you help me? During this series, we're looking at some Old Testament followers of the Lord who, like me, felt that. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just don't know. And last week we talked about Moses. We love Moses. He's so cool. He parted the Red Sea. He went all over the desert. He struck a rock when he wasn't supposed to strike the rock, but water still came out. And he talked to God and ministered with God. He gave the Ten Commandments and all these other things. And Moses is awesome. But at the start of his journey, Moses asked, who am I? He had no idea. He lacked self-confidence. He didn't know who he was. And we talked about how he should know who he is and we can know who we are because we should just know that our identity is someone whom God is with. It doesn't matter who you are today, God is with you if you believe in him. And that should give you confidence to do what he has sent you to do. But today we're going to look at how Moses, again, and Jeremiah knew this, but yet still struggled. They knew that God was with them, but yet they still struggled. And that's true for us as well. We may know in our hearts and minds that God is with us, but yet at times we struggle. But yet at times it's hard to serve him. We still experience deep anxiety and confusion about how to follow him, often because of our own perceived lack of skill or ability. This was Moses and Jeremiah both at the start of their journey. If you can turn with me to the book of Exodus, we'll be in Exodus chapter 4, and then we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. And so between Exodus 3 and Exodus 4, Moses had this whole correspondence with God about how God's going to help him and care for him, work these signs and wonders and miracles and all this stuff. And so God gives him this great statement. You're going to do great things, Moses. But this is what Moses says in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Really, Moses? Really, Moses? He hears the assignment. He's like, I can't talk no good. Some people think that Moses may have had a stutter or a lisp. Why'd they make lisp with an SP? I'll never know. But he stumbles over his words. And even after the Lord comforts him and tells him that he's going to teach him how to speak, that he's going to talk to him, that he's going to be with him, Moses still says, I'm the wrong guy. Send someone else. I'm the wrong guy. Even though you're the one who's appeared to me and called me, I'm the wrong guy. Send somebody else. Now, if you would turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, right at the very beginning. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 6. I know I got a bookmark. I'm cheating. I'm ahead of you. It's always in your bulletin, by the way, where we're going to turn. Right there, and it says scriptures, and those are the ones I'm going to use. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 6 is what God says at the very beginning of Jeremiah's story. The word of the Lord came to me, a.k.a. came to Jeremiah, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And look at Jeremiah's response. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. Didn't you just say alas? Who uses that? Jeremiah says, I can't talk no good. Come on, guys. He knew what God had said to Moses and how God had used Moses. He was a good Hebrew. But yet he says, I know talk good. And he also says, I'm too young. Both of these men, God would use in mighty ways, but at the start of their journey, anxious. Anxious, confused about why them, how them. I can't talk well. I'm too young. I'm not the right person. Anybody but me. Choose somebody else. How, you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt anxious and confused about a new direction in your life? Have you ever said, oh, I'm going to go do something new, and so now, but I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'm good enough. Somebody asked me, and they said, hey, we really want you to do this new thing at work. Can you do it? And you know what a lot of the times we feel? Well, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'm smart enough. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I can. When I became a dad, I asked the question, how do you hold a baby? How do you change a diaper? I don't know if I can be tender enough. Don't know if I can be patient enough. I don't know if I can be kind enough. I don't know if I can be responsible enough to raise a baby. Now I got 3 and a half. The half is because he's on the way. Due in November. Pray for us. Pray for Ashley more like. She's got this handled. But I didn't know. I was anxious and confused about if I could do it. Anybody else ever feel anxious, confused about the new things, that new season of your life? About when you get married, about when you make new friends, about when you start a new job, when you retire? What, I don't know if I've got enough money to retire. We ask these questions and we don't know. We don't know. I felt it many, too many times in my life. And I know that I sure wish I would have had better confidence when I was younger to help me to overcome. I wish I would have preached this message to me about 10 years ago. Maybe 7 at this point, I think. Nine years ago. Time goes by so fast, I got to figure it out. 9 years ago, I wish I would have preached this message to myself, but I didn't know it. Because identity crisis? Hello? I've been through like 7. And it's been good. And I'm so grateful for it. But I wish I would have known how to get through it better. Anybody else gone through it before? Anybody else ever feel like, oh, I don't know if I can do it? Anybody else? It's normal. It's normal. This is who we are. We're people. We feel inadequate. We feel unprepared. But yet, did it work out? Did it work out? You may have felt anxious, unprepared, confused, but did you figure it out? Almost everybody I know, they've always figured it out. They said, I didn't think I could, but then I did. It's like, why do we have so much self-doubt? How many of us feel self-doubt when it comes to do anything for the Lord? That's a bigger question than just our lives. Anybody else feel, I don't know if I could do anything to serve him? I feel it. I felt it on Thursday. Thursday. Here I am Sunday morning. Kevin was talking to me this morning. He's singing songs. He's like, I don't know if I could do that. Esther, we talk every week about playing piano. She does an awesome job, I think. And if you don't agree, well, take it up with the Lord. But she tells me at times, I don't know if I can do this forever. I don't know how long my hands are going to work. I don't know how long my eyes are going to work. I said, Esther, you just keep doing it until you can't. But how often do you look and say, oh, look, it's the nice little people up on the stage. Good for them. I could never do that. I can't talk good. I can't speak well. I don't want, people don't need to look at me. I can't do those little stares. I can't serve at the church anywhere that someone could see me. Oh, I don't, my food isn't good enough to bring to the potluck, so I'm not going to bring it. Whatever it may be. We feel anxious and confused about how to serve at church all the time. All the time. Takes us out. And that's here at church. You say, you leave these four walls and you say, oh, I don't think I can do anything for God because what if I say something wrong? What if I misrepresent God to the people around me? I can't do it. That's too much. Anybody else feel like that? Hello? It's normal to feel that way, but it's not normal to stay that way. Or it shouldn't be normal to stay that way. Because God has called all of us to be a prophet. And you say, Eli, I'm not Moses. I'm not Jeremiah. I'm like, well, praise the Lord, neither am I. But you're still called to be someone who speaks on behalf of God. That's what a prophet is. You are called, if you believe in Christ, to be someone who speaks to others on behalf of God. To take his word, to take what you receive from him when you spend time with him, and share it with others. And if you don't receive something because you don't spend time with him, well, maybe you should spend some time with him and then you'll get something and then you can share it with others. But we feel anxious about doing that. Who am I? I don't talk good. I can't talk for God. You're just like Moses. You're just like Jeremiah. But you know what God did? He took people who couldn't talk well and then he had them teach to a generation. It changed everything for him. I don't speak well. And God says, I don't care, then I'll be glorified more. Because they'll know that it wasn't you who came up with these things, that someone spoke to you and told you what to say. I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, maybe it's the one who can help you who would be glorified if you do it. Jesus gave us instructions about how to follow him. There's many, many, many of them, but my favorite and what we're going to focus on today is the Great Commission. Anybody ever heard of it? Ever heard of the Great Commission? Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's the Great Commission. Jesus says, go make disciples. This is our mission as a church. This is our mission as the global church, to go and make disciples. It's not easy, but it's what we're supposed to do, to speak on behalf of God and to tell others. And I was looking up this last week, and I asked the question to the internet. Internet, how many people actually know what the Great Commission is and do it? And I learned some disturbing data. Barna Research Group is a Christian research group that does all sorts of studies. Asked the question, how many people in the U.S. have heard of the Great Commission? Here, look at this little chart. Churchgoers, have you, these are people who go to church, have you heard of the Great Commission? 51% say no. 51% of churchgoers. So if you, this is the average across the whole United States. So if you look at the people around you, if it's not you, it's the person next to you. Don't know what the Great Commission is. 25% of those who say yes say, I know what it is, but I'm not real. I know that I've heard of it, but I don't know if I can tell you what it is. 6% say, I'm not sure, which I don't know what that means. It's ridiculous. I'm not sure if I've heard of something or not. Well, then you don't know it. That's what I say. And 17% say, yes, and this is what it is. 17% of Christians know the mission of the church and can tell you what it is. 17%. That's 2 out of every 10. There is 33 people in the sanctuary right now. 33. So, if you multiply that by 3, you get to 100. So, 17 of 33, that means 11 of you know what it is and can tell me what it is right now. I'm one, so that means 10 of you. That's the average. That's stupid low. But it's the average of the United States of America. Another study says that 37% of believers in North America say, 37% of believers in America say that they have a responsibility to share the gospel. Just 37% say that they have a responsibility to share the gospel. Is that a high number? 37%? What's the mission of the church? The Great Commission, which is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to teach the gospel. That's the mission. So this should be how much percent? 2? 10? 15? 20? 45? No, it should be 100. It should be 100, but yet it's not. What's the Great Commission? Have you ever read it? Before I go on, I have a question for you. Can you find the Great Commission? And if you can't, here's a hint. This is where it is. I want you to turn your Bibles. In front of you, there are Bibles. I've never done this before. There's two. It's either a black one that looks newer, says Holy Bible, but there's nothing else on the side, or hardly, that says NIV little, or it's older and a little bigger. Grab it right now. If you don't have one, raise your hand. I'm going to bring you one because we're going to turn to it. And I'm going to make you do something that you're uncomfortable with. You're going to speak in church. Nobody wants to read the scriptures, so we don't do that anymore. And also because I'm already over time, and that's normal for me. But turn in your Bibles to this page. And now I have to turn myself because I don't have it marked either. And I could quote it, but I'm just going to read it because it's what we're supposed to do. We're going to read the Bible together out loud. So the way that I learned how to read the Bible is that you say the Bible verse, and then you read it, and then you say it again. Does that make sense? You say, read the Bible, say the Bible verse, so like the the scripture is Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and then you read it, and then you say it again. Does that make sense? Okay, did you find it? Did you find it? I finally made it. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. All right, ready? Okay, say it with me. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay, so now in this chart, I hope that you're at least in the right side. I can say that now I can say that all the people who are here today should know that it exists. You've read it in the Bible. You found it in the Bible, maybe for the first time. I don't know. Doesn't matter, because I'm hoping at least to help you to know that this is what we're called to. And part of it that we miss is that Jesus says at the very end, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And that's good news, the best news. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what we're called to do. But yet we feel unequipped to do it, right? Anybody else ever feel unequipped to do it? It's normal to feel that way, but it's not normal to stay that way for all of your Christian life. Because this is our call. Only so few Christians actually do this. They don't feel equipped to share the gospel. They don't feel equipped to share it. But it's our purpose. So what do we do? How do we know how do you do this? Well, let's look back at Jeremiah for a second. Jeremiah 1, verses 7 to 13. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. Okay? Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. And the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The Lord tells Jeremiah, I can help you to speak. I will bless you to speak. And then, to confirm it, he gives him a sign. He gives him a vision. And he tells Moses, or tells Jeremiah, you heard well. Good job. Keep doing it. The Lord has called all of us to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize in the name of the Father. So, Great Commission, okay? We just read it. He's called us to do that. Right? But he also promises that he's going to help us to do it. He's going to help us to speak. And he's going to give us signs to do it. Because although we do at times feel unequipped, Jesus says he's going to help us. And he's going to give us gifts. And we will be able to do great works like he did. This is what Jesus says in John 14, verses 12 and 14. Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever, are you a whoever? Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. What kind of works was Jesus doing? Healing the sick, making the blind see, making the lame walk, making the setting captives free from demonic presence, healing the paralyzed, raising the dead, you know, just normal Jesus things, walking on water, multiplying loaves and fishes. Those are the things that Jesus has been doing. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything, and I will do it. The Lord says, go, and I'll help you, and you will do great things. I watched a sermon, a little bit of it this week. A pastor was talking about, do we look for power? We prayed for people today. And I am grateful that you guys decided that I needed to be prayed for, and I appreciate that. But here's the thing. Do we expect the prayers to be answered with power or not? You know what I mean? Do we expect a healing when we pray for a healing? Do we expect a move of God when we pray? Or do we just pray because it helps us to feel like we did a good job? If we're praying because it helps us to feel like we did a good job, we're doing the wrong thing. We're praying because we have power to ask in Jesus' name for things to be happened, and they do. I've seen it. Many others have told me they've seen it in their life, or in others, they know we prayed for them, and they're better. Praise the Lord. Happened to Kim. Happened to Shirley. Happened to many others. Say, well, I guess it wasn't that. It's like, well, I guess it was God. The Lord gives us instruction, and he also helps us by giving us signs and power to serve him. God doesn't ask us to serve him because we are sufficient in our own skills. Jesus calls us and equips us along the way. Moses grew into his calling, and he worked signs and wonders with God's help. Jeremiah started, and he grew in his calling, and he received sign after sign that he spoke to the Israelites. And the Lord tells us, start following me, start being faithful, and I will give you sign after sign after sign that I am with you and that I'm going to help you. Because God is your helper. We sang the eye is on the sparrow, right? Many of you may not have known that song. But the reason it's been in my heart is because if his eye is on the sparrow and he takes care of the sparrow, he's going to help us. He watches us. And he doesn't just watch us because we're pretty. He watches us so he can help us. He watches us so he can help us. So don't allow insecurity and anxiety and confusion to become an excuse for being disobedient to the call. To share the gospel. To do the Great Commission. Because you may not feel ready, but you can begin anyway. Knowing that God is with you. You may not know everything, but you can learn. You may not have great faith, but you may have a little. And a little faith is all it takes to move a mountain. You may feel inadequate, but that's not true because God is with you. And he will help you. God has called us. He's called us. So what are we going to do to reach people? What are we going to do to reach people? One quick thing before I close. The reason we got lights is because you can't see your pastor up here. But also, I was thinking about who are these lights for? Because you may look at them and say, Eli, why in the heck are you doing that? I don't care. That's dumb. I like the hymns. I like simple church. I don't need any of this fancy garbage. Stop it. I said, okay, that's great. I agree. I really don't like them that much because I would much rather just stand out in an open field and shout. But I know that there are people who are my generation who look at a church that plays the hymns and doesn't have anything fancy, and they said, that's for old people. I had a conversation with someone, and they said, you can't play any of the old songs. They're just too old. I don't want to sing the old song. That wasn't me. I love the hymns. You guys didn't know that song, but I did. I sing it to the top of my lungs because I know it and I love it and it's true. But people my age don't. And it breaks my heart. But I can't change them. But we're called to reach them. And I don't like change more than anybody else. But yet, when the Lord told Kevin right after Mother's Day to tear it down, and Kim said, the whole building? No, the whatever church might look like so that we can reach the lost. It's worth it. Because in 20 years, unless we reach the lost, those who aren't here, this building will close. Unless we bring in the next generation. So what do we do to reach them? I don't know. But what are we willing to sacrifice to reach them? Everything but the gospel. Everything but the gospel. Is it going to be comfortable? Probably not. But is it worth it? I remember an old lady, the church I used to go to, her name was Jan Hand. Last name Hand. What a last name. Jan Hand. I always thought I call her Jan Hand in my brain, but there's a D at the end. Jan, probably the same age as Lila, upper 80s. Great Christian lady. Their service is loud. They have 25 minutes of worship every Sunday. It's intense. She walks into the sanctuary every Sunday and grabs earplugs and puts them in her ears, and then she goes and sits in the sanctuary. She had somebody, her husband, actually, his name is Joe. I think he's gone now. Be home with the Lord. Joe asked her one Sunday, and we were around, he asked, Jan, why do you go in? I don't. It's too loud. She says, I know, but I love watching the young people worship. I don't like the music. I don't sing to it, but I just look at the people, and I smile. Now, I'm not saying we're going to have a whole band up here someday. I don't know. Maybe. Lord wills it. But all I know is that the Lord's calling us to reach people. And what are we going to do for it? I don't know. I'm going to be uncomfortable probably. But if it reaches the next, it's worth it. If you want to be in a church that closes to not reach the next generation, then you can fire me and find a new pastor or go somewhere else. And I don't want to be fired. I like this church. I like you. But I hope you stay. Because it's worth it. Because that's our mission. And we can do it. Because God's going to help us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word and your challenge to us. We pray that you'll help us to follow you. Help us to pursue you. Help us to be faithful in all that we do. Thank you for this time together. Help us to leave this place and do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On Thursday, I wasn't sure if I was excited for Sunday. Were you? Are you? I pray that the Lord will work in your heart, like he's been working in mine, and help you to remember why we're here, to do what he's called us to do, the Great Commission, because it's for him that we serve. He will help you. So start, and if you started, keep on keeping on as we follow him, and we do this because he lives.